This morning, the scripture reading is from the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 to 37, the parable of the Good Samaritan. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, and passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to the inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." There ends the Bible reading.
Our text from Luke that Charlotte just read may be the world's most familiar story about showing compassion for people, especially for people we may not like. A nice little story with a nice little moral, especially for those of us who enjoy doing good deeds for those who are in need. And I know there's several of us in this room this morning. Our story from the Gospel of Luke certainly doesn't make our stomachs churn or doesn't offend our sensibilities. In fact, I expect most of us feel pretty good when we hear it. And most of us probably identify with the Samaritan. We think we would be moved by compassion if we were in a similar kind of circumstance. So I just want to ask, as you hear this story, who do you identify with? Was I correct? Do you kind of initially identify with the one we identify as the Good Samaritan? Or the lawyer who started it all by asking the question about what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? Or the traveler who became the victim? I suspect that there aren't very many of us who identify with either the priest or the Levite who walked by. But who do you identify with? It all begins with this question by the lawyer. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, I don't know what was motivating him. Was it a sincere question that he was put into this itinerant rabbi? Or was this just one other attempt of the lawyers and the Pharisees to entrap Jesus by asking a difficult question? And then the text says, that the Pharisee did this in an attempt to justify himself. Now, we probably hear that phrase, justify himself, with different ears than the audience that first heard the story from Jesus or read it in Luke's account. For one of the scholars that I read this week said, rather than be justified in this context, a much more accurate translation would be to be strictly observant. In other words, the lawyer wanted to know, what did he need to do to follow the Torah, to follow the law of his people? If he was sincere in his questioning of Jesus and not just trying to trap him, we can think that he was trying to get some specificity about what was required to follow the Torah. He wanted some clear boundaries about what was the neighborhood. Who is my neighbor? And that's not an unreasonable request to make. He was concerned about obeying the law. And he was asking Jesus, give me a list, if you will, of the people who are in the community. Where can I draw the boundary? Because the question itself, who is my neighbor, implies that some people won't be. He's asking for, what's the neighborhood? If you have any sense of the 613 Jewish laws, that's not an unreasonable request. Yeah, who's in? And who don't I have to worry about? Well, Jesus does help the Pharisee, the lawyer, in his search to be faithful. He does help him in his desire to lead an observant life, to follow the Torah. But he helps him, as he so often does in the Gospels, by telling a story. He doesn't respond by saying, here's what you have to do. He doesn't make a list of who's in and who's out, of what's required or what's prohibited, which the law tends to do. Instead, Jesus tells the story that is so familiar to all of us. But as we heard the story read by Charlotte, and we recall how we've heard it before, we need to remember that there's some other audiences as well beyond just those of us who are gathered here this morning. There was that audience that first heard it, when Jesus told it in response to the lawyer. Most likely, all those hearers were Jews. And then there was the audience in the community of the early church that Luke was writing for, as they heard this story. And so I think we need to work to hear it through their ears, as well as contemporary society 2,100 years later. So Jesus tells the familiar story about a traveler going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he is attacked by bandits, beaten, stripped of his clothes, left for half dead, lying there on the road. Now, the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, I've been told, is not, at least it wasn't 2,100 years ago, a comfortable place. It wasn't familiar territory. It was a challenging journey. Stephen Patterson, who I'm going to be quoting several times because I've read some of his work for this, is Old Testament professor of Hebrew Bible at Eden Theological Seminary in St. Louis, one of our UCC closely related schools. And Stephen Patterson said that this journey was an ambush waiting to happen. I suspect all of us at times have known the taste of fear. The traveler in the story of Jesus this morning was probably nervous as he began his journey from Jerusalem down to Jericho. And his worst fears were realized when he was beset by the bandits, by the highway robbers. His goods were stolen, he was beaten, he was stripped, he was left for dead. What a nightmare for him. And lying there, I suspect he hoped somebody would come by and give him some assistance. And then Jesus says, along came a priest. And most likely, his original hearers tensed up at that point. For you remember, Jesus spent more time with the marginalized than he did with the religious elite. And those who were the peasants and on the margins basically didn't have a lot of good feelings about the priests and the Levites, the two that came down the road and walked by. And Patterson says this was a fairly common it's sort of like you tell a joke about the lawyer and the doctor and the blank who walk into the bar. Yeah? And it's the priest and the Levite and the blank. And what they expected was the next person that came along was going to be just the normal Israelite. And he would respond with compassion. But that's not the way Jesus tells the story. and they're shocked and probably angered and made uncomfortable when the person who comes around the bend and responds with compassion is their hated enemy, the Samaritan. We don't get that viscerally. We know that the Jews and the Samaritans were not speaking to each other, although they were neighbors and cousins in the faith. But to hear that story from Jesus' mouth had to be a shock. He was a most unexpected, in many ways, unwelcome hero. The enemy is the one who showed compassion. They don't worship like us. They don't hate the same people we do. They don't love the same people we do. They don't live in our territory. And yet it's a Samaritan who shows the compassion. We know too well with a lot of hatred is religiously based and rooted in historical events like wars and conflicts. The Samaritan had probably been taught, as the Jews had been taught, to hate, to disregard the Jews. And we have to remember, he's not in his home territory. He's in their territory. And the robbers could still be present. They could be waiting for their next victim. But the Samaritan doesn't let his culture, his teachings, his fear, his knowledge of what might still be out there, doesn't keep him from doing what he did, from what Cain Hopfelder calls a higher righteousness. And in many ways, I think that's the challenge for us. Robin alluded to that in her time with prayer, and she said even more yesterday when we were together about needing to take some risks and doing the things that sometimes make us uncomfortable. The Samaritan took the risk. The robbers could have still been present. He reached across the boundaries of those that he was supposed to hate and offered compassion. But I think that's not the end of it for us. When I think about this story for us today, it's not just about individuals long ago or not just about individuals today, but about communities and nations and races that have to cross the line, that have to move beyond the boundaries. It begins with an individual, frequently, with a Samaritan whose heart is moved by a Jew. But it needs to move beyond just individuals who are willing to take risks and cross boundaries. It can be costly. It surely can be risky. It can produce fear. But we need to draw the circle so big that there are no more boundaries to cross. That we don't have to ask the question, who is my neighbor? Because the neighborhood includes all of us. And that means moving beyond all those learnings and prejudice and teachings that have caused us to say who's in and who's out. That's the story for us today. Amen.